Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
This is just going to touch your heart. This is who we serve. You know, people who don't know God or who are against God, they create some sort of, you know, fiction thing that's not even real. Like, you know, Christians are perfect, or, you know, they don't make any mistakes, or, you know, once you've failed, you can never be, you know, brought out again, or that the Christians don't sin, or I've done so much, God cannot even save me. And the truth is, you know, every man's fallen short. Everybody, all of us. And not only, I like T.D. Jakes, what he said. He said, you know, I did some things before I got saved. I did some things after I got saved. You know, if it, forget about Satan, God help me from me.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's the grace of God that keeps us. God forgives sin. But this is man, right? This man, his name is Mark Outing. And you would think he was the furthest away from the Lord. But look, I want you to hear his testimony. It will just bless your heart how he met God. Take a look.
You can spend $6.99, get yourself a good, juicy burger, get you some fries and some onion rings, and that'll be a piece of heaven. Come to Mark's Outing and eat our burger, and if you don't like it, I'll give you all your money back. It ain't the best burger you ever ate. You often see me sometimes when it really gets busy, rushing to the back, throwing on an apron, just beginning to move fast, talk fast. It's just exciting, but when I look back on my life, you know, I've had enemies in my life, a lot of enemies, and it really, really got way out there. I've done things that I'm ashamed to even share. It'd be a club brawl, it'd be a fight, it'd be a shootout, whatever it took. I had a group of guys, we wanted to be rappers. Our name, PKO, it was actually like drug weights, you know, like pounds, kilos, ounces. The desire to succeed was at such a high rate that I would have sold my soul to get to the top. We got ourselves in a bunch of hairy situations. It wouldn't be anything for me to have $10,000 to $15,000 in my pocket. It became more than just rap. Now it's really about drugs. Once we got to that situation, things took off. I mean, we began to make a lot of money. Porsches, Benzes, big dookie chains that cost a lot of money, diamond rings, watches, houses. We began to buy very, very popular nightclubs. And at that time, I thought, this is it. This is the life. Gaining cars, girls, jewelry. I was having a lot of fun. It seemed like the party was all good. Hanging out with the buddies was all good. But then I'm laying in my bed at night. It's me and my conscience. And my conscience is saying, this is not well. And me thinking, let me go buy something. I buy a Porsche. I get excited for a week, but it wouldn't leave me alone that something wasn't right. There was a problem. That thought of not being satisfied, it just wouldn't go away. Well, when you look back on it, there's a hunger in my heart that these things are not filling. I took a liking to a girl, and so I would follow this girl to church. I went to church, and the preacher began to preach about how, unless I had this Christ, that I was going to be condemned to hell. The Bible says, repent and believe the gospel. I was really blown away by that. I was thinking, me? Going to hell? What is this man talking about? You know, growing up in church, Sunday after Sunday, you got a Bible, you dressed up. That's what I thought church was. It's what you do. You put tithes in the basket. It's what you do. And it wasn't that way this time. This time I'm there, and the Lord's allowing me to see my true condition, and my true condition that I was not right with God. That's scary. You know, it's real scary to just think I'm at odds with my Creator. But this particular time, I began to cry out to the Lord, Lord, save me, forgive me, help me. And the glorious thing was God did just that. He awakened me, he opened my eyes. God gave me new life. It moved you to tears to know that the loss that a person has to go through in life sometimes just to for God to bring them to that point, and it moves you to tears to know that people are blind like I was. The only way, the only truth, the only life is found in Christ. He saved sinners, came into the world to save sinners. That's good news.
I love to see crowds burn, but I know I can shape history if I can find just one. Anybody can burn in a crowd. I want to find someone that'll burn by themselves.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. It's iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights, but it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Totally awesome.
Wow.
This is God. This is the Lord who saved me. Yeah. The Lord that saved you.
Yes.
And it's the Lord that can save you. No matter where you are, what condition you're in, and you may be at the top of your so-called game, but when you go to bed at night, I mean, you got to have music, you got to have your television going. Something's got to happen. Noise has got to happen. If not, if you just get quiet, You can't live with quietness because you don't have the peace that you have in God.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. You know, I didn't even feel like maybe you just turned on the program and you just watching this TV or someone sent this to you. Listen, you know, God's trying to get a hold of you, and don't resist the promptings of God, you know. Don't have a hard heart towards him. He loves you, has a plan for your life, and say yes, and he won't steer you wrong.
And it's, you know, and nothing satisfies outside of him. God has created everything, and he didn't create anything that would replace him.
Mm.
Men think they can replace God with things, but every time, no matter who it is, they find out all the money in the world, all the power, all the whatever, it just doesn't replace him. You know, what we did, we took the time to share a few of our testimonies on Meet My Father. Mm. You see, what God wanted a relationship with us. And he did that. He made that possible by giving his son as a sacrifice for us. This is what he did. This is who Jesus is. That's why all this religion wars out here is against Jesus, because he's the real thing. He's the son of God, the creator of the universe. And God loves you so much, loves me, John, and all those that are watching, and you that's watching and listening, that he gave his son for you. And Jesus was born. His mother was Mary. His father was God.
Mm.
Think about that. And he was born from a virgin birth because that's how God chose to bring about his son here on earth. He was the father. He determines the blood types. Mary was a young girl, and God's spirit overshadowed her, and his seed was in her womb, and she began to carry God, Emmanuel, God with us. And then he was born weak. I mean, think about it. He's God enough to hold the universe together, but yet man enough where he can't even hold his own head up. He allowed himself, he took on such a humbling humanity. I mean, think about it. If we were going like, I'm not going to come as an infant because you'll probably smack me or something will go wrong. You're off me somewhere. But God said, I'm going to come as you come. He came. He's God enough to hold, create this woman, his mother, and to create the milk that flows from her breast. But yet, he's infant enough, dependent upon the milk that flows.
Hmm.
He had to be nourished by the very thing he created. And he walked as we walked. And so that's the thing about Jesus. He didn't just show up and say, this is how it has to be. He walked and he was tempted in every way. He went through all the stuff that we go through, even more so. I mean, this is a luxury environment compared to the way it was even then.
Yeah.
I mean, he felt the infirmities. He knows what you're going through. And everybody convinced you that God don't know what you're going through because you're going through something strange. It's all the same. There's not any unique thing. It's all bad outside of him, and it's difficult. But with him, he said, I wanted to feel that. And he tells us, he says, listen, we don't have a high priest, Jesus, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, our failures, our mistakes. But we have one that was tempted in every way, just like we are. Yet he did it without making a mistake, no sins. And he said, therefore, we can actually go to him because he did that for us boldly. I mean, think about that. In our time of need, which means we may have made a mistake, we may have fell, we may have sinned, may have saw something, touched something, went somewhere with something, and we shouldn't have done that. And we could say, I need forgiveness.
Hmm.
And he goes, forgiven. Peter says, how many times we got to do this, Jesus?
Yeah.
Seven times?
Yeah.
Right? And this is not the max, but he's trying to drive the points. No, seven times seven, right? Seven times 70.
Mm-hmm.
And some people adding that up, It's like, no, this is how forgiving our God is. He loves you so much. And so we shared some of our testimonies at meetmyfather.org. It's meetmyfather.org. And I want to encourage you to make a decision, the same decision that Mark made, that I made, that John made, and the others have made to say, you know what? I want to be in relationship with God, and I'm not all that, but Jesus is all that. And if I accept him, if I realize, like Mark said, I'm at odds with God and I don't want to be at odds with the Creator, I want to be in harmony with the Creator, and that means through his Son. That's just saying, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. So you got to say, Jesus, I want you. Forgive me, cleanse me, wash me. I want to be a part of the family. Begin to draw me into yourself. I want to be your disciple. That's how simple it is. I want to be your follower. I want to be part of the family. I want to be forgiven. You know what he says? Forgiven. At that moment, you're part of the family. Now, we have some information for you at meetmyfather.org that can help you, what you're doing, what you've just done, and how to get connected. You need to begin to breathe. Breathing really is like praying, talking to God. You got to begin to breathe as a new creation in Christ Jesus. You need to get warm. That means you need to get into fellowship with other believers that are following the Lord and have a heart for the Lord and his word. And you start reading the word. We have a simple plan for you to begin to just hang out with God. We call it abide. You can hang out with him. And a lot of people want to do that, but they just need a simple plan to do that. We have that for you at iabide.org. It's an awesome plan. It's free. Request it. It'll be sent to you automatically in your email. And it'll begin to walk you in a simple abiding process. And your life will be totally transformed.
Yeah.
Totally transformed when you begin to abide with God. You don't need all this stuff that men have created. You need to be in right relationship with God, right relationship with his body, fellow believers, and his word, and begin to abide with him, and things will just transition in your life.
We'll be right back.
So we're here at Lighthouse Church in Panama City Beach, a couple days into a deployment here after Hurricane Michael, and we're settling in with our operations. We have our full mobile command center in operation. We have teams coming in to advance or expand our team so we can help more people. We're doing volunteer coordination. The first couple days alone, we've already sent a couple hundred volunteers into the field to help homeowners. They're scouting homes, looking for people that are vulnerable and need help. There's a lot of tree damage from the wind effects of this hurricane, so there's a lot of chainsaw teams working. That's a big need. We're providing hot meals out of our mobile kitchen. In the very first evening of providing hot meals, we did about 638, I think it was, hot meals. And today that number is going to be much larger. One family came in, and the kids had only had potato chips for 2 days. And we were able to provide hot meals to that woman for her family, and she was thrilled. It was a really amazing experience. So just a short time after the storm, after Hurricane Michael, the need is still great. So Operation Blessing is trying its best to get resources out in the community, hot meals, toiletries, different types of supplies. So that's just really important that we fill that need. And our volunteer teams have been running these things to homeowners that are stuck in their homes because they can't even get out their driveway because the tree's in the way. So you may be sitting there wondering, well, what can I do? I'm just so-and-so in whatever part of the country. You can get a team together. You can call, you can go to ob.org and you can find out how to volunteer. You can financially support our efforts. You can, of course, pray for us. We really appreciate that. But volunteer armies are really critical to help a community after this much destruction.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
What belongs to God? And I think I know what Jesus would have said. Whose image is on you? The image on the coin is Caesar's. Give to Caesar that which is Caesar's. Whose image do you bear? Do you know the Judeo-Christian worldview is the only worldview that holds to that? That you're made in the image of God? The Muslim would consider that blasphemous. The Hindu will not accept that, because the caste system is intrinsic to his or her faith, where every birth is a rebirth, and an accretion of karma from the previous birth is now embodied in yours. Buddhism, a variant of that, but same idea. When you and I are told that we are made in the image of God, the implication is very obvious. We are created with essential worth.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
But what we want to do is take time to do the wisdom moment. You know, every day we try to share the wisdom moment, and we read and share out of the book of Proverbs, and we select the chapter that corresponds with the day. And so since today is the first, Pat, of August, then we're actually going to be reading Proverbs chapter 1. So the wisdom moment for today, and scripture is in Proverbs 1:7. Pat, the word says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline.
Yep.
Wow. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. You know what? Knowledge without the fear of the Lord is not a good thing. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
no.
That is dangerous, you know, because we know, and the Bible tells us, that knowledge puffs up, right?
Right, right.
And, you know, knowledge without a healthy fear is like, dude, that's not going to work out for you, you know, because you can get puffed up with pride, and you're setting yourself up for a huge fall, because it's not about just gathering knowledge and getting, you know, information. Even when we're reading God's word, we're really reading for revelation. You know, we're reading, and ultimately we want the manifestation of whatever God revealed to us. We want it to be manifested in our lives, right? So it's not about gathering information, whether it be worldly knowledge or biblical knowledge, but it's about, you know, having a healthy fear of the Lord.
Right.
And you know you have a healthy fear of the Lord, Pat, when you have treasured the words out of his mouth more than your daily bread. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And man shall not live by bread alone,
that's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so we need a healthy fear of the Lord. Someone asked, you know, well, how much fear of the Lord do you need? I'm still growing. I still need more. You know what I mean? Do you ever have enough?
Never.
I mean, you never have enough. I haven't got to that point yet, but I don't think you ever have enough. And so we want to think about that. We want to understand that, Pat, God's eyes are always on us. You know, Proverbs 15 says that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch over the wicked and the good. I mean, that alone, hello.
That's right.
I mean, helps us out, right? You know, his eyes.
Yes, are always on us.
Are always on us.
That's right.
So we have a little help with the fear of the Lord, don't we? Have a little.
Oh, yeah. If we don't forget, right?
Yeah, if we don't forget, you know, maybe we got, you know, put some eyes on our hands or something. I don't know. No, we just got to remember that, you know, God's watching.
That's right.
And if you're a believer, he's in you. So, I mean, he's there. He's present, you know.
Yeah,
you,
he's
you,
constantly you, talking.
You didn't leave him back home. You know what I mean? You know, he's there with you. And so the healthy fear of the Lord, Pat, also helps us to really, you know, be in check. It helps us to be rightly related with God. It helps us to really understand that, you know, he's God. Hello. I'm not, you know, and I can't live a life independent of his word, of what he says, of what his expectations are. Pat, he's God. He's God.
Yeah.
You know, and it's his way, you know, it's his will, you know.
That's right.
And we're just happy to be here, right? Amen. But he's a good God, you know, and healthy fear of the Lord is not, you know, we're not gnawing at our fingers and we're not, you know, knees knocking, although, you know, God can show up and that could happen, you know.
That's right.
You know,
all your faith.
You know, think about it. I mean, when men in the Bible have seen angels, what happens? I mean, angels, they fall to the ground, dude. Mm-hmm. And they're like, get up, get up, get up. If that what happens when you see angels, created beings, hello, I can only imagine, maybe not, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, oh my goodness,
yeah,
to be in his presence, you know, and to have that awe, you know, that reverential awe of God. We need that, Pat.
Yeah,
we so desperately need that. You know, I'm reminded of, you know, desperate for his glory. You know, when just shared that just the other day, Greg, that it was awesome. I know that I'm leaking a little bit, but I know that was highlighted there on the VFN torch there. But what an awesome, just to be desperate for God, desperate for his glory. And when you approach his glory, you better have a healthy fear of the Lord. May not work out good for you. So with that, Pat, you know, it says it's the beginning of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And in verse 1, you know, verse 1, chapter 1 of Proverbs, it really begins to tell us, you know, what Proverbs is all about. Okay? It says Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. And Proverbs is for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight. It's for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life. I mean, these are expected. God wants us to grow in wisdom. These are healthy, normal expectations. You know, verse 4, for giving prudence to the simple and knowledge and discretion to the young. You know, when I think about the simple and the young, you know, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Right?
Yeah.
And so God is wanting us to grow in the fear of the Lord and in wisdom and in knowledge in its proper context, in its proper relation. And verse 6 says, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. And so, you know, I'm amazed as I've been reading Proverbs for many years, and I encourage you, you know, you want to be in the book of Proverbs.
Yes.
I mean, there's one chapter, it appears it worked out just this way, but there's a chapter.
I think it might have been a plan.
Yeah, I don't know, but it sounds good to me that there's one for each day, you know, and you can listen to this on your the scriptures on the phone maybe or on the computer, but Greg often says, you know, let it wash over you. Let this wisdom grow in you. Because let me tell you, there's a lot of people, Pat, that have knowledge.
right.
You know, and how many times have you seen this, you know, and we can't be naive, church, but how many times have you seen someone because they're a doctor or here's an attorney, here's a lawyer, and granted, these people are smart in their profession and they're a doctor. They know how to work on bodies, you know, or they're an attorney and they are very smart about the law. But when we start attributing wisdom and start seeking, you know, biblical guidance, you know, mm-hmm. God's guidance right. from someone just because we think they're intelligent, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean they're wise. You know, wisdom is a proper application of knowledge.
That's right.
You know, you have to have sound judgment. When you read the book of Proverbs, you notice that there's a constant contrast between a man who is foolish and a man who is wise.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, here's what fools do. Here's what a wise man does. Here's what a fool does. Says, this is what a wise man says. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, okay, mm-hmm. God, are you trying to tell me something? You know, I'm like, okay, I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to be a fool. What does your word say, God? You know,
right.
Because he's very clear. He says, but fools despise wisdom and knowledge. Think about that. Despise, it means like to distaste, to disgust, or disdain. And there comes a period in a person's life, and I mentioned this earlier, so that, you know, it's time to put childish or foolish ways that God wants us to grow in wisdom, in prudence, so that we can begin to govern our lives accordingly. Mm-hmm. That we just don't make decisions just to make decisions, or we seek the Lord. See, that would be wise. You know, so mm-hmm. you know, what's wisdom? You know, if you got to make a decision, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You don't fly off the head and make one. You don't take advice from someone who's not abiding. You know, if they're not reading the word of God, if they're not spending time with God daily, mm-hmm. what are they going to tell you in relation
That's
to
right.
God?
That's right.
In relation to how God feels about this particular situation. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to be a fool. You know, the Bible says that, you know, a fool says in his heart that there is no God, you know, and a fool doesn't appreciate the ways of God.
Right.
And if we don't have a healthy fear of the Lord, we are going to, you know, suffer greatly, I believe.
That's right.
You know, and I think that even our nation is starting to see that even now, you know, and even some parts of the church. And so, you know, today's wisdom moment and today's word is found in Proverbs 1:7, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.